Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. So, there was a traveler who was coming back from Mexico, and the U.S. Customs officer standing at the border stopped him because he glanced in the man's car and notices in the back seat that there are a lot of unmarked jars sitting there very carefully on the back seat. So he says to the man, "What's in those jars?" And the man says, "Holy water from the shrine I just visited." So the officer said, "Let me have one of those jars." So he takes off the lid, smells it, and said, "This isn't holy water, this is tequila." And the traveler looks at the officer and says, "Good heavens, a miracle!" Well, the feeding of the 5,000 is one of the most important miracles in the New Testament. It is the only miracle in every single gospel. In fact, this miracle of the loaves and fishes is depicted in one of the oldest Christian mosaics, which can be found on the floor of the Basilica in Tagba in the Holy Land. This story is important because in it we see and experience the compassion of Jesus. We notice the abundance of God providing in a situation that seemed impossible to respond to. And lastly, it's a Eucharistic story because Jesus took the bread, blessed, broke, and gave it. It's a powerful story, and actually more than 5,000 were fed, because we hear, not counting women and children, if we count the women and children, we're up to 15 or 20,000. So Jesus had left for a deserted place and went into the hills. He probably was having to deal with his own personal tiredness, and just having heard that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded. So Jesus had grief, and he probably wanted to be by himself. So he finds a deserted place, but the crowds hear that he's gone in a certain direction, and they find him. And what does he do? He looks on them with compassion and spends the rest of the day healing. In fact, loses track of time. Would you have left your home to go into the hills that day? Would you have been caught up in the excitement that Jesus, the one you've heard all these stories about, all these miracle stories, is now in your area, in your neighborhood? And why would you have gone? Would you have gone because you aren't feeling well? Or you know that you are too fearful, too anxious, and you want the peace that Jesus has to offer? Or is your life in such a way that you just need to get away, and so you go to see where Jesus is? So Jesus has spent the afternoon, hopefully you were there, you can be there right now, you can be in your own heart in this moment with Jesus in this particular scene. And allow yourself to be there and recognize that God has compassion with all that you are dealing with or feeling or not feeling, your thoughts. And so you're in this crowd, and Jesus has now been healing and has touched you with peace. But then there's an interruption because the disciples who are probably really hungry because they've been with this busy Jesus says to Jesus, you know, you need to send them away. There's nothing in the area for them to eat. And what does Jesus say? They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. That statement is pivotal. Jesus is saying, you do it. So Jesus asks them, what do we have to feed these people? And they say, all we have are two fish and five loaves. So at this moment, I'd like you to also be in touch with that often we say to God, but I only have, or I only am, or, but more than that, we probably say a lot of buts to God. But that's not going to work, or, but. Jesus went ahead and said, give it to me. So give God your buts, your excuses, and let what happens next happen. So Jesus took the loaves, took this small amount that seemed totally inadequate. The disciples probably felt inadequate giving it to him, but he took it, raised it to heaven, blessed, broke, and gave it to them to pass out. Jesus did not. He was not the one who passed out the bread. He blessed it, gave it to them, and they passed it out. So what we offer God, God takes, blesses, and we become the instruments. We need to pass on the blessing. We need to pay it forward. To make this more visual, there was a young woman who worked for a Christian nonprofit, and they decided they needed a prayer corner in their office. So she volunteered to go to a secondhand store like Goodwill and find a statue of Jesus. So she goes and she looks, and sure enough, in that store there was a statue of Jesus. And she brings it to the counter to pay for it, and the owner said, no, no, you don't want this statue. The hands are broken off. And she said, that's why I want the statue, to remind us that we are the hands of Jesus. And that's what happened at this feeding. Jesus gave the bread, and the disciples were the hands of Jesus. They passed on the food. Now, here is a probable miracle that also happened at the event, and it could have been the miracle. We don't know. So imagine the 12 surrounding Jesus. They hand him the bread and the fish. So they block the view of 15 to 20,000 people. But if you were back number 19,000, you couldn't see anyway. But anyway, they're surrounding Jesus. He does this moment of blessing, hands them the bread. They turn around, and they start passing out what they have. So I imagine the first to receive turned around, but those behind them probably didn't see all that was going on, see bread being passed, probably had their own bread and fish with them and bread in pockets, and they probably took out the bread from their pockets or the bread and fish that they had, and they turned around and started giving what they had to the people behind them, and it was a complete ripple effect. Everyone began sharing what they had actually with them that day. And so in doing that, there were leftovers. No one had kept the little amount they did have. They gave the little amount they had away. And in doing that, we had leftovers. All of us might feel we have so little to offer, or so little to give away, or how am I blessed? What difference can I make? I love being a priest, but I'm not always in the mood to do what I need to do. There are some days I wake up and I stepped out of the wrong side of the bed. And no matter what, you know, some days you're just a little off, or your brain's like jello, so you're not in the mood. Maybe some of the disciples weren't in the mood that day. They could have had a headache because they were hungry. But in that moment, all they needed to do was show up and be obedient. That's all we have to do, is show up and be obedient. Whether we're in a mood or not, feeling well or not, tired or not, we don't have the power. The equation in this gospel is Jesus is the power. Jesus made something happen that seemed impossible. So when we're not feeling put together, and we recognize we still need to do such and such, especially as parents, you might not feel, not one more thing, please. And yet you have to love anyway. In doing that, you're letting God love through you, because you recognize it's not you. It's God working through you. You are the hands of Jesus. No matter how little you feel you have to offer. Millard Fuller was a very successful businessman. Very successful. But toward the end of his career, he and his wife felt a real nudge for Christian service. So he sold his business and they went to Zaire and were missionaries for 5 years. But he had this dream all that time, because in our world there are billions of people who have housing that's inadequate. And his dream was to build houses for those who couldn't provide for themselves. Millard Fuller started Habitat for Humanity. And when he started, he could have said to God, all I have is a hammer and a few boards. What's this with all the need out there? And God could have said to Millard, and that's enough. Just start. So he did. Millard Fuller began Habitat for Humanity, and others joined him. And during his time in Habitat, during the years where he was active, they built 3,000 houses, but it started with one. And those 3,000 houses provided for about 1 million people. Now, a few years before he stopped actually building, he recognized that a part of North Carolina needed 2 dozen houses right away. And a lot of people joined together to build those 2 dozen houses. And one of the men that worked for a week on one of the houses was ex-president Jimmy Carter. Day after day, he works on this house in North Carolina, and then he leaves. A year or so later, Millard Fuller is back in that neighborhood in North Carolina and sees a little boy playing, and he says to the little boy, do you live around here? And the little boy said, yes, I live in that house. And that was the house that Jimmy Carter had helped build. So Millard Fuller says to him, who do you think helped build that house? And the little boy, without hesitation, said, God did it. God does it. All we have to do is let go and let God use us, build through us, serve through us. One of the ways we serve here is a ministry that began built on this gospel, and the ministry is called Loaves and Fishes. It's a ministry that provides food for families in our parish when there's a crisis moment or when someone is sick and they can't cook anymore. We take them meals. So one of the ways this Loaves and Fishes ministry works is because people give their leftovers in containers, they go into the freezer in our parish hall, and they're ready to go. So how do we always allow ourselves to pay it forward, to recognize every day God is calling us to do something? Doesn't matter how little it is or what it is. But every single day, God is calling us to do something for someone else. And even in my moments of moodiness, I believe that. There's a passage in Scripture that says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." So just as Millard and his wife refocused the rest of their lives on Christian service, all of us can come to moments in our life when we need to refocus. How am I going to be who God needs me to be in our world? So no matter how little we think we are, Jesus is the one that will increase it, increase us to becoming more than we thought we were. So let go and let God and try it. Amen.